Hey everyone, it's Andy Bueller, high school sports reporter and host of the Scorebook Live Today podcast. So the coronavirus has shut down schools and halted high school sports, but we're taking things up a notch in hopes to help during this time of great uncertainty. Each day we're releasing a special episode of this podcast called Dickow's Quarantine Series, where our own Dan Dickow interviews an expert in their respective field, from coaches to trainers, authors to former standout athletes. Subscribe to this podcast for free, and please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Let's keep everyone safe by washing your hands and following the governor's stay-at-home mandate. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. Here's Dan Dickow after a word from our sponsor. Are you a small business impacted by the coronavirus? Washington Federal is here to help. Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live, and it's offering a 5-year business line of credit with 90 days interest for free to businesses that have seen a 10% or greater drop. Apply now to receive up to $200,000 on business lines of credit. The folks at Washington Federal understand small businesses may need an emergency loan. They're doing their best to help during this global pandemic. If you're a small business owner who needs help, head to wafdbank.com. to apply. Questions? Email business.lifeline@wafd.com.
Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live, Washington, on today's podcast, the quarantine series, where we're bringing you an interview with a special guest in an experienced field, an expert, or a former college or high school athlete from the state of Washington that was truly successful. Today's guest, a former UW athlete at the same time I was there, had an amazing amount of success on the football field from Woodinville High School in class of 97, Marcus Tuiasosopo. Marcus, it's been a while since we talked, so great to reconnect. How's life down in the Bay Area, because you're on the football coaching staff at Cal?
How's it going? Good, Dan. It's good to get on with you. One of my favorite guys coming into, you know, our class of 97 there, watching you do what you did on the court, and followed you throughout your career, and you know, always consider you a friend. So it's a great to join you. And yeah, we're sheltering in place right now, Bay Area. It's interesting times, but we are doing well.
Good to hear that all is well in these uncertain times. And a lot of people are having an opportunity to kind of reflect on some of their past experiences, memories from their athletic career and or coaching career. You've got a little bit of both. When you look back at yourself, you were a multi-sport athlete at Woodinville High School, very successful baseball player and football player. I believe, if you correct me if I'm wrong, you had a chance to play either sport in college, and you might have had the talent to play professionally on the baseball diamond as well. What were the determining factors for you to choose football, and what was the thought process like back then for you?
Yeah, you're right. I played football, basketball, and baseball. I played year-round. I mean, literally would finish one season, and the next day was hitting practice the next sport. And so that's all I knew growing up through the years. And so when I had a chance to continue playing sports collegiately, it really made sense that football and baseball, I could play at the highest levels. Probably, I maybe could have played small school basketball if I loved it. But, you know, I loved football, and I did enjoy baseball. And so ultimately it just came down to what I really loved. And obviously football and playing the quarterback position is what kind of drove me. I did go out for baseball for a little bit my junior year in college, just because I had that itch to do it. And there was a little caveat there, because I actually signed at UW to play both, you know, football, Jim Lambright at the time, and then Ken Knudsen. You know, I think all of us understood that that's what was happening. But then I won the backup quarterback job my freshman year, and then Coach Lambright's like, I think you should focus on football. I don't think the baseball thing is going to help you out. So, you know, I wasn't happy at the time, but, you know, I think it kind of showed, you know, where I truly was at in terms of loving the game of football and wanting to pursue, you know, greatness at the quarterback position. And so I didn't really even fight it. And so, you know, I did go back out later after I kind of solidified myself at that level. And, you know, ultimately went back to football after a few months just because I missed working out with my guys. And we had some goals that we hadn't accomplished yet. So, but, yeah, I mean, there was a moment there actually right before I enrolled as a freshman at UW where, you know, I almost decided to go play baseball at Arizona State and ultimately decided not to, obviously, but that was kind of what I went through.
Wow, that's interesting. I knew you were a good baseball player. I didn't realize that you had opportunity as well, maybe to play at Arizona State if that was the path that you wanted to take. You were in a unique situation as far as having a family that was full of good athletes. Your father played in the NFL. I believe, if I remember correctly, your older sister was on the volleyball team at UW. You had some younger brothers that had success at the college level in different sports. How did your family's athletic background shape and mold your decision-making process and also your competitiveness to get to the point you could have those options?
Yeah, growing up in an athletic family, and as you mentioned, a father that kind of, you know, played high school and then went to college and then obviously onto the NFL, I mean, sports is what we did. I mean, it was something that we naturally gravitated towards. And I remember my parents always telling us that we didn't have to do it if we didn't want to, but it was just something that we loved to do. And so we never said we didn't want to. And then, you know, they even told us to the point where we could just do it for fun. It didn't have to be super competitive, but it was in our nature. So, we never wanted to go that route. We always wanted to be the best or compete to be the best. And so being around that with your siblings, and I'm one of five, it makes it a natural, you know, process that you just continue to move on up and do the best that you can and that you're competing and you're trying to get better, you know, each day, or you're trying to, you know, not necessarily one up each other, but you're kind of encouraging each other just to do your best. And so it was a natural thing, I think, in our family to just, you know, strive. And, you know, our parents always said, you know, give yourselves the best chance to, you know, do the things that you want to do in life. And if you have dreams to play collegiately or get your education paid for, or even have a chance to play professionally, let's go for it. And so, you know, having that support, it helped me out just because it was always keeping me on, you know, our path athletically. And, you know, if we didn't play so well, you know, we had someone that could talk to us and teach us through his experience with my father. And so it was nice to be able to, and I don't know if I always thought it was nice at the time, you know, you're getting critiqued by your dad,
yeah.
You're trying your best, but, you know, looking back on it now, he was just setting us up for, you know, the way college coaches are going to view your performance. And, you know, if we want to be the best, then we always have to be pushing to be better than we were before. So I think those things came natural. You know, you still have to make that choice to want to do it. But when you're in an environment where that's kind of the norm, it's easier to kind of get on board and to kind of take the baton and run with it.
What type of advice would you give, I guess to go back, you're currently – in the coaching world, you've been at UW, UCLA, and now Cal as a position coach. And so now you're looking at high school athletes in a different way than you just talked about within the family setting. You're talking about looking at evaluating and then recruiting high school athletes. What are some of the things that you look for, knowing the background that you had as a athlete, but also the background that your family had? Because you could see what your younger brothers were going through and how they were getting evaluated. How did that all mold together, and what do you look for in recruits?
I think what I'm looking for is, you know, and a prospect when I'm looking and scouring the land is just a guy that loves the game of football, that is competitive. You know, I will evaluate films against their best opponents. So I'll ask the head coaches, okay, what are the games that are the games in your area? And, you know, I want to see how they play against the best in their area. Cause you know, that those are the games when you, I just thought, think back when I was in high school that, you know, you're thinking about and you want to do well, or, you know, you're going to find out, does he get nervous? Does that nervousness affect his ability to play at a high level or whatnot? So, but I think if you love it and you're able to compete against the best in your area, then you're focusing on the things that matter, in the game of football. As you're not letting the moment be too big for you. You're competing with your buddies. You know, I'm looking for guys that play hard, because if you're running from sideline to sideline, or if you're finishing blocks, if you are covering down the field when you don't have the ball and you're trying to block for your teammate, those are things I'm looking for that show me that you love playing the game of football. Because as you know, Dan, in basketball, I mean, the higher you go, the harder it is, because now everyone is better. And you got to have a love for what you're doing to really put yourself above, you know, your competition, because now you're going against more guys that are like you. And I think if you don't love it, it's going to become too hard, or the discipline of developing your skill set is going to require patience, or it's not going to happen overnight. And so those are the little things I'm looking for in the film, or when I ask high school coaches or their counselors or the people around them, to kind of find out kind of how the makeup of the young man is, and really if they love playing or they love competing.
Loving competing and working at it, I think whether you're a athlete or whether you're a coach, that has to be the basis to becoming successful. So I love hearing that from you. Let's take a step back and let's go back to your Woodinville days. Is there one high school football memory that stands out to you?
Yeah, there was a. It was probably our senior. Well, there's a couple, but this one, the one I'll talk about is we won our first playoff game our senior year against Kent Ridge. I mean, and they were huge, and everyone was saying that, you know, we didn't have a chance. You know, we were undefeated, but we were smaller. You know, Kent Ridge, I think they had like 7 to 9 guys that were like 6'4" and 250 pounds. I think at the lowest weight level, you know, we might have had one guy that was like that, you know, but we just were a tight-knit group of guys. I mean, there was 12 of us, 11 of us, you know, that would go both ways, and the 12th guy would come in and you know, give a break to myself or another DB. But literally, we would play both ways, and so we were pretty good, obviously, that year. But, you know, that was a big challenge for us in our minds. Was could we go up against a bigger physical team? Our team was tight. You know, we were competitive. We hated to hear that from people that you know, these guys are better, stronger, bigger, faster, and all those things. And then we ended up just blowing them out, like 42 to something. And I think that kind of showed us that it doesn't really matter how big the opponent is. It matters how big, you know, your heart is, how, you know, how strongly you believe in yourself, and then how strongly you believe in team, and then are you accountable to each other? Because when you got a group of guys that are dialed in that way, man, you can go beat anybody. It doesn't matter who you play. And so that was a really cool moment to be able to go play that game and it not be close, but really just blow them out. And that's a game that stands out for me.
That's awesome. I love hearing guys kind of go back in the memory banks and bring out different details and things that they remember. Obviously, you've moved from athlete to coach. And in doing that, many times you look back at different coaches you've had and think about things that they said or how they ran practices or maybe how they related to guys. Is there one former coach that you have that you can look at and say, he's my mentor, that's who really kind of pushed me into coaching?
Man, that's a great question. Because I feel like I've taken from a lot of my coaches. You know, I've taken a little bit of everything. I mean, I could name the list of coaches that I've had, and you know, a lot of them are extremely successful now. And I don't know if I can just point to one guy that was a singular coach that really just, you know, showed me that this is what I want to be. Because I think I always knew that I wanted to coach. But I will say this, I think all the coaches that I've had, I mean, the ones that had the most effect on me were the ones that really just, you know, took time to develop a relationship with me and really just be real. You know, I've had a bunch of coaches that just put the X's and O's up on the board and then go, you need to do it this way. And then it's like, if you don't do it, then you're like, you know, you're terrible. You know, there's no teaching. There's no, you know, critique. I don't mind being critiqued hard, but what I learned was the coaches that, you know, that took a little bit more time to make sure, you know, that, you know, how I was learning, how I was doing, you know, how was my current attitude affecting my ability to learn or, you know, just took that extra time to show that they cared and whatnot. I think coaches, you know, from a tactical or an X and O standpoint, there's a bunch of coaches that I've learned from, I think, in terms of like teaching styles and how to effectively convey information so it doesn't get stale. I've probably taken a lot more of that, but I mean, I've literally, yeah, I probably count on my hand the number of like really, you know, I shouldn't say this, but bad coaches in terms of where they just, you know, you knew they weren't invested in you. Yeah. It was kind of like they're just doing a job. And then, you know, hopefully they landed someone good where they didn't really have to coach. And then, you know, they could just stay in their position. But I've had some guys that are just good dudes and enjoyed, I think, the people in the room and teaching them more so than the position itself. So I know that's probably didn't answer your question, but I really do feel that I've been blessed to have some guys that have, you know, helped me become a better coach. And it's really hard for me just to pick the one guy. Sure. Because I've had a ton.
Yeah, I would agree. I've been blessed with having coaches at multiple levels that have had an impact. And there's nothing like a coach that, as you kind of touched on, is imparting wisdom and that you know they care. When you know they care, you're willing to do the extra things yourself outside of what you would have done. You're doing it to, you know, kind of show the coaches that as well that you believe in their message, and it's getting across. So, Marcus, I really appreciate it. Scorebook Live Washington, today's podcast. Again, we've been bringing in experts from different fields. Different guys who've had success at the high school and college level in the state of Washington, and you are honestly at the top of that list. I remember being a freshman with you at UW, and I think it was Brock Heward that got hurt, and you stepped in and made some tremendous plays down the stretch of that season for Husky football, and it was fun watching those games. It was fun getting to know you and then following your NFL career a bit, so appreciate the time. Best of luck with Cal this year, except when they're at UW and at Wazoo, right?
Hey, it's all good. And we've had their number a couple of years, so I think they'll be ready for us this year. But I appreciate it, Dan. Anytime. I'd love to get on with you.
All right. Thanks again. Take care.
All right, buddy.
Hey, bud. We'll be right back.